Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, our friend. It is awesome to be his follower and to be saved because of his finished work at Calvary's cross. Father, we trust that everyone here knows Jesus, but if someone is here today who has not yet put their faith and trust in him to save them from their sins and give them eternal life, we pray that they would not leave this place today until they have made that decision. And we pray that they would understand clearly your message of salvation. Father, we thank you for the joy of worshiping you. Thank you for music, the gift of music, and the opportunity we have as believers to use it. You've actually commanded us to do this, to sing your praises and to teach one another through these songs. And we pray that you would bless this activity as we worship you together, and that you will bless the time of prayer, all that is done in this hour, and especially the ministry of your word. We pray that you would bless Pastor, fill him with your spirit, and speak through him as he ministers the scriptures to us this morning. May all that is said and done bring honor and glory to your name in this hour, and we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
From Romans chapter 8, one of the most wonderful portions of scripture that we have. It's all wonderful, I know, don't tell me. But anyway, this is a special chapter, especially the last part, which we'll get to maybe next week. Anyway, we're going to read this morning from Romans 8, beginning at verse 1 through verse 17. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, how we praise you and thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, for your word, how we are encouraged and strengthened as we read these words, knowing that they're true, that in Christ Jesus we have life, liberty, freedom, and all that we need. We thank you, Lord, for all of the wonderful blessings that you shower upon us day by day. And even in times of darkness, you are the light to us. May we look to you, our Father, and may we truly walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Lord, we don't owe the flesh anything. Help us to reckon it as dead and to live for the Lord Jesus in this world in which we find ourselves. We do pray, our Father, this morning, your blessings upon each person who is here, that we might truly be encouraged and strengthened and thrilled at all that you have for us. May we do your will in all things. We do pray, our Father, for our loved ones and friends. We know some that do not believe. We pray that they might come to true faith in Christ, that your holy will would be done in their lives. We pray for the sick, our Father, those loved ones that are going through difficult times, that you might undertake for them. Be with our missionaries today, our Father. Some are in difficult places. I guess maybe all of them in one way or another finds it difficult. We pray your blessings upon them. Help them. We thank you that the Murphys were here with us this week, and I just ask your special blessings upon their ministry as they go about seeking to reach people with the gospel. We pray for the Kellers over in Switzerland as they've had to move because of the war. We pray, dear Father, for all of our missionaries, that you'll bless and help them in every part of their ministry, that they might see your hand of blessing upon them. And we pray for our church here. Help us, our Father, to be able to accomplish what you have for us to do. Give us the wisdom and understanding we need to serve you in a greater way. And we thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. salvation through him. That's the way it is. No condemnation now. Notice he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. We are free. We are not considered to be guilty. So he says, we're free from this sin. In contrast to the predicament that Paul found himself in chapter 7. Where he said, the things I want to do, I can't do. The things that I try not to do, I end up doing. Right? And but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have the victory. That's what he's saying. There's no condemnation to anyone who is in Christ Jesus, who does not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he explains it a little bit later there, that if you are in Christ, you are not in the flesh. You've died to the flesh, right? And God doesn't see you that way anymore. He sees you in Christ, who is holy and righteous, and we are considered that because we are in him. So here in verse 3 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death, right? That's the law that we were living under before we came to Christ. Condemned, yes. Guilty, yes. But now it says that we have a new law working in us, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we're no longer under the law of sin and death. We've been, as he explained in the previous chapter, we're dead to the law. No longer under the law in that sense of condemnation. We have been set free by Christ and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So here, Paul speaks of the law of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit that frees the believer from the power of sin and death. So this is a wonderful thought to keep in our minds, that the Holy Spirit of God is working this wonderful life in us. He's called the Spirit of life, notice, in contrast to the law which brings death, condemnation. That's all the law can do, is say, hey, he's a sinner, yes. He's condemned. No, Jesus said, no. I died for him. He's alive. He's free. You see? And the Holy Spirit works in our life to make us more and more what he wants us to be. The Spirit of life, the life of Christ, and eternal life, abundant life that we can have in him as we yield ourselves to him. He says, for what the law could not do, the law of Moses, or the law of man, cannot do, because it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So, this is it. The law could not save us. It could only condemn. So God sent Jesus into this world to take upon himself our sin, that we might be set free. That's what it's all about. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. What God requires, see? Jesus fulfilled the law, and then he died on the cross for us, that we might be forgiven and not be condemned by that law. So he says, this is the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in the believer through what Christ has done for us on the cross. So the law of God is fulfilled in us as we walk in the Spirit. following his leading. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Very same subject we're talking about, right? "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." You see? That's the contrast. You're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, you're not condemned. Then down to verse 25, he says again, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We live in the Spirit because we have new life in Christ, right? We have spiritual life. He says, so then, walk in the Spirit. Follow that leading that the Spirit gives to you, and bring glory to God through your life as you walk with Him. So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Then the second part here we see the conflict of the Spirit with the flesh. And he goes back and forth on this in these next verses. The unbeliever follows his own desires with no concern, it seems, for pleasing God. I mean, he might have some vague idea, you know, he wants to do the right thing, but unable to fulfill it. And here he says in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, living for themselves, and not too concerned about other things. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he gives you the desire to please God, you see. And he says, "For to be carnally minded," or fleshly minded, it's the same idea. Carne is the meat, the flesh, right? It brings death. It's all about the one you follow. If you follow the flesh, you die. You follow the Spirit, you have life. And he says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You want peace in your life? You want to be at rest? Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, and walk with Him. And you'll have that peace that passes all understanding, the peace of God in your heart. He says, "You're not in the flesh." Now this, he's talking to believers. Those who have put their faith in Christ, he says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." So in whom does the Holy Spirit dwell? He dwells in every believer, doesn't he? You know? Jesus told his disciples, he says, "He's with you and he will be in you." Right? And we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he gives us that wonderful sense of peace and life, and we can rejoice in his presence, knowing that the Holy Spirit will guide us in the right way, and not following after the Spirit, but I think I got it there backwards. But anyway, it's too many times here. It's, you know, flesh and Spirit. And I get it turned around. It's Steve's fault. You know, he started that in Sunday school this morning. Anyway, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So that's, should settle it right there. If you are an unbeliever, you're not following after God's will and his way, then you cannot please him. until you come to put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior and your Lord, and follow Him. Follow the leading of the Spirit of God. That's the way to have joy and peace and life in Christ. So, he says, you're not in the flesh, and you should never act as if you are. Sometimes it seems that we do, but we shouldn't. You're dead to the flesh. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we all have to have the Spirit of God. It's not that you get him as a second blessing or something like that that some people teach, you know. You have to have two or three steps in your salvation. No, it's simply putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. He did all the work on the cross of Calvary, and all we do is believe in Him, trust in Him, put our faith and confidence in Him for our salvation, and walk with Him. So, it says, you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. See, this body, it's going to decay and die and go to the grave. The body is dead, but because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So after this life is over, we have another whole life because the Spirit of God will activate us and take us home. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, notice, He that raised up Christ from the dead, God, shall also make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So there we have the promise of the resurrection, right? After this life is over, when our body dies, physical body, we're going to come back to life again. Just as God brought Jesus back to life, He's going to bring us back to life. The Spirit of God is going to quicken us, make us alive, and we'll come back and spend eternity in the presence of God. So that's a great joy, isn't it? Think about that we have the hope of eternal life. Now this last portion that we're looking at this morning is we are debtors to the Holy Spirit, not to the flesh, as I said before. But verse 12, he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We don't owe the flesh anything. We don't. That's the old life. It's gone. When you trusted in Jesus as your Savior, that should be dead and gone. And the old man is crucified with Christ. We're no longer to follow after the old way of living, but we are born again to a new life. And we are debtors not to live that way, but we are to debtors to God, to live for Him. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh, but we're debtors to God. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. That's what it leads to, right? This life, you go through this life, following after the fleshly appetites of this life alone, nothing else, is going to end up in death. But if you, through the Spirit, do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So there he says, allow the Holy Spirit of God to give you the victory over the sins of the flesh, and allow Him to guide you and to follow His direction, and you will have a full, abundant life. I'm not saying now that after you get saved that way, you're already a believer, right? You're already saved, but you, through the Spirit, you can put to death the deeds of the body. die to the old man and live to the new man. And so the word here we see in verse 14, the word sons, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this word here, sons, refers to a child mature enough to take on adult family privileges and responsibilities. So he's saying here, as you are led by the Spirit of God, you become a mature person. You're sons of God. And old enough to know what to do. The word translated children in verse 16 is a different one, and literally means born ones. In verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the ones born of God, and no matter what our spiritual status might be, I mean, as far as our growth in Christ, if you are a child of God, you're born of God, then you are His children. But He wants you to grow and become strong and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, and to be a strong believer. So that's the two different words there. Children, the little ones, and then the sons of God. If you follow the Holy Spirit, He will enable you to be strong in your walk for Him. Verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. You're not a slave anymore to the old life, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, in the system of adoption they had in those days would be the placing of a son into the mature place, like the heir of the family, adopting him in that sense as being the one that would carry on the name of the family and be a full member of the family and a full leader in the family. So when it talks about adopting, it could be someone from outside the family, or it could be one of the sons in the family that they would place in this position of being adopted. And here he speaks about, you have received the spirit of adoption. So in that sense, God has adopted us, you see. The Holy Spirit of God is the spirit of adoption. And therefore, we can cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba, of course, is the Hebrew word, I think, for an intimate word referring to the Father. But like we would say Daddy, Papa, you know, something of that nature, I guess. It may seem strange to speak to God like that, but He is. He is our very dear Father. He's the one who loves us above anyone else, and He's ready to take and to help us to be his children, his dear born ones, as they say, the ones that the little children, and then all of the rest of us, we are his people. And verse 17, and if you're children, then you are the heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Paul, of course, was a great Christian, and yet he suffered a great deal, didn't he, for Christ? He was willing to do that. And he says, if we suffer with Him, we will also be glorified together. And God doesn't promise us that we're not going to suffer, does He? You know, He gives us suffering to mature us, to make us stronger, you know? And but it all leads to glory. And he says here, we are his children, okay, in his family, but we're also the heirs, heirs of God. What does God own? Huh? God, he made it all. It's all his, right? And we inherit all that he has. And joint heirs with Christ. So just as Christ came and took upon himself our bodies, our same kind of bodies, only sinless, so we are co-heirs with him. We are joined together with the Lord Jesus and will spend eternity with him and with the Father. And it's a wonderful thing to think about, isn't it? We may be also glorified together. That'll be a wonderful place. Think of that, you know? And all that we have to look forward to. So God has provided a way for us to live a life that's pleasing to him. A life of holiness. Not in our own strength. We can never do it. We can beat our heads against the wall and try night and day, but it's not going to work. It's God who has to do it. The Holy Spirit of God working in us and working through us can bring us to a place where he wants us to be, through yielding ourselves to him and following in the way he leads. So this is the way to be delivered from defeat. As we saw in chapter 7, all of that process of not doing what you want to do and doing what you don't want to do and all that, the Spirit of God can give us the victory over that and enable us that we can truly live a life that is pleasing to God. May God help us to yield ourselves to him and follow in the way that he would have us to go. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our heart this morning, this wonderful chapter. And we pray that you'll speak to us and teach us, help us to remember what we read this morning, and not to be defeated by the things of this world, by the flesh and all the rest, but realize that we're dead to all of that, and we are alive unto God. So we thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is with us to guide us in the way we ought to go. And I pray that each one of us would live a life that would be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.